From the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
Hashtag Perry Small on 1690, the talk of Chicago.
So you might remember, a few months ago, had a great conversation with our next guest. We were talking about what's going to happen with child support and how they're reconfiguring what child support is. Well, today he's joining us on another interesting topic. And, you know, there's some moral implications. I get it. When you talk about the legalization of marijuana in Illinois, there was a bill introduced in both chambers last month to legalize recreational marijuana. I'm just going to go on record right now and say, please pass this bill. Please pass this bill. And I'm going to take it, and I'm going to insert myself in this conversation. As somebody who is a recovering addict, I just want to tell you, I had the best upbringing you could possibly have. Nobody forced that first joint or bong in front of me. I did that. That was something I chose to do. For whatever reasons, I chose to do it. And I know people that were my great friends who refused, never wanted to have to do anything with weed. It's a personal choice. It's like people like Dr. Phil, his father was a raging alcoholic. And he decided that he would never become his father. And he has not had a drink in more than 40 years. So, but we live in times, and this is just me talking, where we can give kids a great education. We can make them want to stay clean and sober when we put other opportunities in front of them. Now, I had all of those opportunities. Those were poor decisions and poor choices I made in my life. But everybody does not have to do that. I know a lot of you that are listening to me would agree that no one forced you to do anything that you did that got you in some of the trouble that you did. So joining us is Patrick Ryan. I love talking to him. He's an attorney at Schiller Duconto. And is it Fleck or Fletcher? Is it
Fleck? Fleck.
It's Fleck. Patrick, welcome back, counselor. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am so good. So we're going to have you back in July, too, so we can figure out that conversation that we were having about how they're doing different configurations and algorithms of how much people are paying in child support. And I can tell you, people are still talking to me about that segment with you. But with this, with the legalization of marijuana in Illinois, this can present some issues when it comes to divorce, child custody issues, and perhaps on a related note, the ability to hold a job or things of that nature. For example, and this is what you provided for me, if a couple's going through divorce in the past could have debated a spouse's illegal pot use as a possible reason to limit custody, does legalization of marijuana change this? Or is it then okay to have a spouse smoke weed on a regular basis? Make some sense of this for me, counselor.
Well, there's a couple of things. So right now what's legal is the medicinal aspect of marijuana. And in so there's one law, the Compassionate Use Act, which covers medicinal marijuana. That's actually been on the law on the books for a couple of years. Just recently, last month, a recreational marijuana bill was passed. So under the medicinal marijuana law, there's a clear distinction between medicinal use and recreational use, and it's very clear that it doesn't apply to recreational use.
Okay.
On the medicinal side, though, there is a carve-out for parents. And it says simply because you have a certificate or a card and the ability to use medicinal marijuana, that in and of itself is not going to be a presumption that you're somehow unfit as a parent or present some sort of danger to your child.
Okay.
That being said, there's no absolutes. You can take certain steps. Your own conduct can result in what is termed as an unreasonable danger to the safety of your child, and that's when a court's going to step in, whether or not you have that license or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the recreational side, and this is just a proposed bill, so it's still pretty early, and it's at least a year away, and what rules and everything else get sort of implemented. What the goal there is to sort of treat marijuana the way that it treats alcohol, to regulate it the same.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't go into detail on how it impacts parenting, but if you make those certain sort of correlations between alcohol use and parenting and what marijuana, if regulated similarly, you know, if it's legal, you're allowed to use it legally. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can have a beer and still be a good parent.
Right.
But if you do certain things, a court can restrict your right to use even alcohol
mm-hmm.
around the presence of your kids. So I think they would still have that same right, but it would not be an automatic presumption because there would no longer be that bright line of legal and illegal use. It would kind of go under alcohol. Well, certain amounts could be legal, but if you're impaired or doing things, then that can get you in trouble, and then a court could restrict your use as it relates to your kids.
I wonder if there have been divorces in the state of Illinois. I mean, because they accuse people of all sort of things when they're in divorce court or if they're doing the child custody. I wonder what the impact would a new law have on these child custody cases and divorce cases where there was a parent that really, truly felt concerned for the safety of of their child or children because somebody's drinking too much or someone is smoking too much weed or the fact that they, you know, use the weed in front of the kids. What kind of problems do you foresee with all of this?
I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of the same problems that can be an issue. Anytime you have addiction issues or concerns over somebody's use, even of a legal drug, so to speak, like alcohol, starts to cause problems either in the workplace, starts to cause arguments at home, starts to create issues. It can be the cause for divorce. And then certainly when you're dealing with kids, particularly younger children, you know, it's. I think some of the same issues we'll see. I mean, somebody's use and particularly misuse or abuse of drugs, even alcohol or even prescription drugs that aren't being taken appropriately,
mm-hmm.
you know, can cause a lot of problems. And it's going to be very fact-specific on what actually is going on with the kids during that time and how it impacts them.
You know, I have seen so many horrific stories of late where there have been car accidents or parents in the front seat of the car that passed out from opioid abuse or heroin abuse. I mean, the pictures come up almost on a daily basis on social media where their children are in the back seats and somebody has to go and rescue these kids when they pass out at the wheel and run into a tree. Based on your practice and what you talk about with your colleagues, how big of an impact has this opioid addiction had on you've seen in family practice like you do or divorce law?
I think it's the same thing. I mean, I think you have concerns that opioid use and particularly misuse and abuse is happening. I think there's sort of a national epidemic in terms of prescription abuse, and then that can turn to illicit use. But it's the same, I mean, sort of underlying issues. If you've got somebody that's an addict, whether it's, you know, alcohol or heroin,
mm-hmm.
you know, they need treatment and they need help. And if they don't get that help, then you know, their actions could endanger their kids and could result in either losing their kids or having their time restricted, meaning they're not allowed to visit one-on-one, they're not allowed to have overnights, they're not allowed to have extended visits until such time as they can sort of get themselves better. And what's sad is sometimes in that process is even if somebody does get help, depending on the severity of the situation, sometimes the damage can be done or it takes too long and it's too hard to repair a relationship with a child.
All right, so I'm going to ask this question of our listeners. Can you be a good and productive parent if there is a lot of marijuana use? Can you be productive? Can you be functional? Would you feel comfortable if, you know, for example, your children's father or your children's mother were constantly using marijuana, and if it becomes legal, would you want to keep your parent, would you would like to limit the visitation with your children? Can you be productive? That's just on the table. My guest is attorney Patrick Ryan. He is with Schiller, Duncan, and Fleck. He's been doing this for a minute. This is the second time that he's been with us. And I'm just really interested to hear what you guys have to say about this. It's 11:18 on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. All right, it's 11:21 on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. My name is Perry Small. And joining us on the live line is attorney Patrick Ryan. He's with Schiller, DeCanto, and Fleck. And we have a telephone call. Let's go to Ronald. Ronald, go right ahead.
Hello, how you doing, Perry?
We're good. How are you?
My question is, now, in the 80s, heroin was out in the black community as well as going on into the 90s. Wasn't nobody saying a doggone thing about it. But now since all these nice white boys and everything that start overdose on it, now you want to make it a national epidemic. You know what I'm saying?
I agree 100%.
So it was put out there to destroy the black community. Now it's coming back to hunt them. Now, as far as the weed smoking, you know, me, I'm not a weed smoker.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, if it come legalized, who's going to monitor it and everything? And is the money going to go back into, like, the school, or is it going to be diverted like it was with the lottery? See, that's the question there. And see, you got a lot of these rich white folks who see that as a moneymaker, and this is what they're looking for now. We're not going to profit from it, but yet we get locked up for it.
Well, see, that's an issue that I have with the legalization of marijuana. I struggle with the fact that there are so many people that are spending an inordinate amount of time in prisons and how families were broken up and that sort of thing. But the question on the table still is, can you be a person that constantly smokes weed? And when I say people that light up, what Patrick, you know, throughout the entire day, can you still be a good parent? What has been your experience with people that partake in recreational marijuana drug use when it comes to divorce and child custody cases?
Well, I mean, I think really quick, I just wanted to address Ronald's question.
Okay.
In terms of the revenue, and one on the, I wasn't trying to underscore the problem with heroin. I meant it more in the terms of the prescription drugs coming as of late. But in terms of the tax revenue, 50% of that is intended to go to the state's sort of general revenue fund. 30% of it is specifically for the Board of Education for schools. And 20% is going to the public, Department of Public Health for programs regarding treatment, prevention, education about marijuana, as well as alcohol and tobacco. Now, getting back to your question, somebody that's using on a daily basis recreationally, I mean, still it's still illegal, and it's not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're using that frequently, it's hard to believe that it isn't impacting other aspects of your life, whether that's work, parenting, social, that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
and it can raise a cause for concern. Some judges will take the view, and there's some basis for it in the statute, that if you're doing something on your time that doesn't impact your kids and your kids and you're not around your kids,
mm-hmm.
then that's up to you. It's when it starts to go over and impact others that they're going to intervene. And I think if you're using it multiple times a day, every single day, it's got to flow over into other aspects.
So when moms and dads are going through divorce, I mean, what are the courts? How do they look at it? For example, you know, you say, look, my husband smokes weed constantly. I can't depend on him to wake the, and they want 50% custody. I can't depend on him to get the kids to school. I can't depend on him to do the extracurricular activities. How do the courts generally look at that in the United States now?
Well, You know, I'll kind of focus on Chicago. I assume it's probably the same. Anytime you have a concern, a lot of times in divorces, particularly in the beginning, you get a he said, she said. It's rare that one spouse will say, I have all these concerns, and the other spouse will simply say, that's fair. You know, so courts kind of like to give everybody an even footing to start, and they're going to want to know about specifics. Can you give me specific examples when they've been late for drop-off, they've mm-hmm. missed pickup, they've forgotten to do homework or feed the kid, you know, any sort of specific examples. And if you can kind of cross an initial threshold, I think what a judge would do, well, a lot of times when there's concerns over the kids, a court is going to appoint an attorney of sorts, whether it's a guardian ad litem or a children's representative, but somebody to be a little bit of the eyes and ears of the court and speak on behalf of the kids. But when you have that, I think the next step then is to conduct testing and see. So does somebody actually come back with a test that says, if the test says negative, then it's kind of where you're going from there. Now, you know, tests can be adulterated, but that's going to be the first threshold. And if it's there, they're going to start to see, well, is it used? How much is it used? And kind of start to put different parameters in place. And judges are going to look at every case differently, and even every judge is different. Some judges, at the first sign of marijuana, they're going to suspend your parenting time or at least restrict it. Other judges are going to want to dig a little deeper and find out what's going on. So,
okay, so what do you think, and you're here practicing in Chicago or Illinois, so has your experience shown that alcohol is a bigger problem some judges in custody and divorce hearings than marijuana? Is that a bigger issue for some people or what?
I think in a sense that alcohol use is much more widespread than marijuana use, or at least people are much more open about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you encounter those situations more, and then it's a little bit of a balancing test. So the issue becomes, okay, like, are they drinking? How often are they drinking? In what situations? Are they doing it with the kids? Are they driving with the kids? And then again, you want to get into sort of those specific examples of, okay, was somebody drinking? What were they doing?
Mm-hmm.
Did they fall asleep at the dinner table? Did they miss work? Did they forget to pick the kids up? And kind of what was their behavior in these situations? Can we corroborate that evidence? And again, a court may order testing and random, you know, urine samples to see, are they drinking, how much, when. Alcohol is a little bit easier to measure in mm-hmm. your system than other drugs.
Well, Attorney Patrick Ryan, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Cynthia and Vera, I'll take your calls when we come back. He's an attorney with Schiller, Duconto, and Fleck. Don't be such a stranger, attorney. Give us a call back, all right?
Absolutely.
All right, then it's 11:28. Can you be a functioning parent if you partake in recreational marijuana on a regular basis? I know people that function. They don't work, but when it comes to their kids, they're functional enough to take care of their kids. Can you be, and do you think legalizing marijuana use, recreational marijuana use in Illinois, is a good thing or a bad thing? What do you think? And when we talk about child custody and we talk about, you know, divorces, would you use someone's drug use or alcohol use in order to manipulate the type of interaction your child has with a parent? Good question. 11:29. Stay with us.